Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Adults. My name is Glenn King, and it is my great honor and privilege to bring you adult entertainment talk for the adult entertainment curious. And as you know, every week I like to bring you the hottest and sexiest adult entertainers in the world. Today we have a very special adult entertainer for you by the name of Pamela Morrison. I'm very excited about this. Let me set this up, because I like to keep an eye on the Vegas talent that's out here. The Vegas talent is here and available to me, and I don't have to pay travel to bring them in. It's a growing community, and a few months ago, I took note of Pamela Morrison, and what I discovered, Pamela Morrison, let's give her a big round of applause. Okay, so Pamela Morrison, what I discovered is that she has something about her that is cute and sort of a shy look that is, and I'm not saying she looks exactly like Marilyn Monroe, but what made Marilyn Monroe special, for those of us who have sort of studied females throughout time and tried to figure out what makes a female stand out more than another female. It's the goal of every porn producer, I hope, to shoot content that jumps off the page, that when you're just scanning through a page of 20 different scenes, this one stands out. So one of the things that I looked at is Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe had a quality about her. If you go look at the Marilyn Monroe artwork or the photography that was done, and there are gallery openings and things that you can go see these things, you notice about Marilyn that there's something about her that makes every guy want to put his arm around her and protect her and sort of cuddle her and say, it's going to be okay. I got you. I got you. And so that's what I noticed about Pamela Morrison. So I booked her for a scene a couple of weeks ago where we were going to have her play a sorority girl next door who's selling items of for her fundraiser, like chocolate bars and candies, but she realizes that the guy in the neighborhood is a pervert and that he'll buy anything from her. So she starts selling him her panties and shoes and eventually takes over and becomes his new mistress. But then I discovered that there's a lot more to Pamela Morrison. She's not just a cuddly, cute girl who needs to be held, which is a great quality for our industry, but she's much more diverse than that. She's got an edge to her. She's got the ability. She's smart. She's got good dialogue. She's got good improvisational skills. She could do a variety of things, and it's cool for me because I've been in the industry for 20 years. I've probably got another 40 years to go, and I'll be able to watch her as she evolves from doing these kind of roles, the cute, cuddly roles, to be doing things that are more edgier. So I'm proud to bring you guys Pamela Morrison. Pamela Morrison, now we'll give you the official round of applause. Thank you. Come on, DW, join in over here.
Pamela Morrison, thank you. I'm honored to even, like, bring me into the same realm as Marilyn Monroe. So thank you so much, and thank you for having me today.
My pleasure. It's a nice comparison, and I think people, when they see pictures of you, they'll understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. So I got to set the table for everybody by explaining we're in the Mean Bitch Studios right now, sitting around a little table here. Pamela is wearing very, very sexy jean shorts.
Actually, I wore them in your scene, too.
Oh, these same ones. So you can probably buy them from her if you contact her online.
Why not?
They're sexy. They have holes in them. You can see them at my website, meanbitches.com. Then she's got on a tight top, which shows her amazing breasts. They're kind of, you know, pushing up against it. And, yes,
amazingly. Creating a visual.
Yeah, I'm creating a visual for them. Now, if you guys want to follow along here, you want to take a look at her, go check her out on Twitter. What is your Twitter handle?
At Pam Morrison XXX.
Okay. All right. Well, let's sort of start at the beginning then about you. What was your childhood like? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in LA until I was 6 years old, and then I moved to Vegas. And it's really hot here compared to LA, so that's the only reason I like LA more a little bit. But I grew up with my grandparents. And my mom was around when she could be around, but my mom did have an influence on me, although she wasn't around as much. I got to grow up and see her in, I got to see her in adult films, but I was aware that she was in the adult community.
Your mom was an adult performer.
Yes, she was. When I was 2 years old in 1999, she was in Hustler.
Wow.
With I believe Flint's son or Flint himself. I forget. She's told me.
Okay.
I just kind of forget. But she looked so cool. They had her all 70s styled out, and in a wig that was purple hair. That would never fly these days. It's kind of cool to see how different.
Yeah.
Things are.
Well, what can you say her name? Her performing
name was Callie Ryder. It is now still Callie Ryder. I believe it was Amber Sky back then.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And she was more of a fetish performer. I was one time on her computer and I saw she did a foot fetish thing when I was 14. Me and my friend stumbled upon it, so it was kind of funny. We watched it. She was being extremely dominant in it, kind of like what I did.
Nice.
For you.
Mother, like daughter. The acorn didn't fall too far from the tree.
Yes.
Well, what was the conversation like the first time that you had to have the conversation?
Funny. We never really had the conversation. We just followed each other on Twitter and stuff. we never literally lived with each other, so
yeah,
we didn't really have that conversation. We more have a sister relationship, but yeah, she's my mom and she cares dearly and wants the best for me and everything. Growing up, I did not expect to be an adult star. I was more brainy. I was kind of a nerd in school. Had the glasses. I got picked on. Yeah, bullied.
Aww,
bullied by the prettier girls.
Uh-huh.
Now they do my hair. Not for the scenes, but
yeah,
I've had them do my hair for EDC and stuff. And they talk to me now and they ask me questions about my job. They're not mean anymore to me. So that's cool.
Do you, but sometimes maybe you think about just giving them, when they do your hair, an extra $100 and be like, here you go, babe. I make a lot more money than
if
you.
If they do
so.
It right. Shit.
So, I mean, I guess the word I'm looking for is, do you sometimes feel like being condescending to them just to get a little bully revenge?
I'm
or are you just
like
over that?
That?
You're not
I'm
like
not
that.
Like that. Not yeah.
Like that. You're not like me.
My grandma's like that. My grandma, my whole life, has told me to be like that, honestly, to girls growing up in, high school and middle school and even elementary school. I remember she'd tell me these snarky remarks to say to them, and I would be like, I would never say that, Grandma. So maybe that's where my mom got the ballsiness to just be who she is, because my grandma was very unforgiving, I guess you could say.
So she was pretty strict then?
Kind of. She's strict, but, not really at the same time, because think about it, my grandparents raised me. They got the privilege of being grandparents taken away from them, and so they tried to give me as much freedom as possible, because that's what grandparents are supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
They wanted to still be like that for me. They didn't want to really be my parents. It's okay. That's not what we're talking about right now.
No, we'll move on to the adult industry, actually. And I met you 2 years ago, I think.
Really?
Or 3 years
ago?
No, here. You came to the studio and did a go-see, right?
Okay,
and
yes.
At the time, I think we looked at you and said, oh, we liked her, but very young, because you would have been 19 or...
19
when you first got in the industry.
Mm-hmm. I was 18 when I did my first scene, but it wasn't, professional. It was for, many vids, and the guy got me tested, and it was professional enough, but wasn't, professional rates and stuff. My first scene I did when I was 19.
Oh, wow. But how did this happen? So, what were you doing after you graduated high school?
This sounds crazy, but I graduated, and that summer I was hanging out with my friends, and we would be on stuff like Craigslist and look for people that had fetishes, that want to buy our panties, that want to play with our feet, that want to see us make out with each other, that simple things. We weren't hoeing or anything, you know. We're young. I wouldn't bring any 17-year-old into anything
that. Right, not your 15-year-old friends. They weren't doing that. Your 18-year-old friends.
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad we clarified
Yes,
that.
I had to. Sorry.
So you're on Craigslist. You're selling panties to perverts.
Yes, it was crazy. They would meet up with me pretty much anywhere. I didn't drive at the time. I didn't drive until I was 19, so I had them meet up with me. They'd come from across town to buy my underwear. Some would pay more to watch me take it off in their car. Someone pay even more to have me masturbate in front of them in the car and get them all wet or whatever. So,
wow.
It all started with the panty sniffers.
Wow. I'm seriously just wowed by this. This is an actual occupation.
It was at the time. And then I was like, I want to become, like, more than this. I want to be, like, more professional because this is just silly. Who knows if I get caught up with the wrong person, if they're going to scam me or steal me away from the world or or something. So I got a business license and a sheriff's card, and I started stripping at 18 and up clubs because I wasn't 21 yet. So I wasn't really profiting very much because the clubs in Vegas that are 18 up, they're fully nude, but they don't serve liquor. So guys are not really busting their wallets out for
you don't come to Vegas to not drink. It just doesn't.
Yeah. So the clubs I was working at wasn't very successful at the time. And then I moved to, I was still on Craigslist and I was finding people who filmed stuff in the industry. And there actually were people on there. I was like satisfied with doing it because I don't know. I was okay with doing it because I knew that my mom did it. Like, I didn't know how far, but I knew that she did it. So I was okay with everything. And I felt like I had the confidence to do it, so
now
I started doing clips for sale things.
Okay, just getting back to the panties in the parking lot of the mall thing here. Just, I'm so curious about this. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but
I have one more thing about that.
Okay.
Parking lot of the mall reminds me. There was a guy who had a fetish to where he was kind of a sissy, and he needed a girl to come with him to buy underwear that looked like it was for me, but it was really for him, and he only liked this one brand called Flirtitude from Sears. So he'd give me a couple $100 to go into Sears and pick out the panties, make it look like it was for me, but really it was for him, and he'd like buy it and everything, and take me to the Vans store and buy shoes for me and everything. So it was really cool. That was one of my favorite things to do, go shopping with this sissy guy.
Right. So you were like a beard,
and
okay.
He's a construction worker. So it's like it could
of
be
course.
Anybody.
Yeah. Well, this is something that, like, all of you guys out there who are judging right now, listening to this podcast, just know...
I'm not judging him.
That, no, you're, and I know you're not. We are in the industry. We just tend to not judge. Because
cool.
We know what I'm about to reveal, which is everyone has something dark, fetish, kinky inside them somewhere.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so again, while you're sitting there going, wow, what a weirdo, think to yourself, listeners, what do I like that somebody else would look at me and think weirdo? So, did you meet anybody, though, that was creepy and scary in those situations?
I'm super fortunate, and I have not. And I'm also, like, it takes a lot to really weird me out. Like, it takes a lot. Some people, I could tell they had, like, maybe a little bit of, like, a mental problem, and I'm not, like, scared of them for that problem. I just kind of, like, okay, I'll be here for you. I'm almost like a therapist, I feel like, sometimes when I meet up with people. But nobody that really scared me, threatened me, or ever hurt me, or truthfully ever made me uncomfortable to the point where I wouldn't want to see them again. That
wow.
never happened.
Okay, that's cool. That's good. So there you go. It turns out it's a valid occupation with, it's not that unsafe after all. But it helped you springboard. Do it carefully, but it helped you springboard into the world of adult entertainment and porn, which now I got to ask you about how that worked out, because if you were in Los Angeles, it would have been pretty straightforward. You would have just contacted an agency. And
so I had a Twitter. I was, like, pretty prevalent on Twitter. I've been on Twitter for about 10 years now, like, even just me as my personal Twitter. And then I started a... Back to going on Craigslist, I met this guy who, because I wanted a minimum of like $100 an hour for my time, no matter what I was doing. I was like, I want at least that. And people were pretty much okay with that, besides this one guy who was like, hey, I don't really want to do that, but I'm willing to take you on vacations with me. I'm willing to build a website for you. I'm willing to like build you up. You can have a portfolio. And I was like, I'm going to give this guy a chance. And he really did. He stuck to his word, helped me build a website called TopShelfBay.com. I created this character called Gypsy Bay for TopShelfBay.com. That was my stripper name, was Gypsy. So I kind of built off that, making another Twitter, and then on that Twitter, I was contacted by an agent.
Okay, got you.
My former agent, who I do not like.
Your former agent, whose name we won't mention. All right, so how did he... what did he say when he contacted you?
He says he likes my work. He sees I have pictures of me up. He thinks I could go further from here. It was just a weird coincidence that my mom is also in it, so I was like, I guess this could work out. I'm not scared to meet up with this guy. He happened to be very close to where I live, just north of where I live, really close. So it only took 10 minutes to go there. I went there with my best friend. I met another one of his girls who was staying at his house, model house. It all seemed really legit, and it was legit.
Yeah. He has his faults for sure, but he is an excellent judge of talent. He's actually had some amazing talent come through his agency.
Yeah. It's all good. But, so it started from there, and I did sign with him.
And how much were you expecting to make based upon
your conversation? I thought 1K, yeah.
Well, but how many scenes did you think you were going to get? Like, how much per month did you think you were going to be making?
Like $4,000. I don't know. At first, I was actually getting booked more than I thought.
Yeah.
And then it kind of dies off over time. But that goes with any agency you sign with. It's like that.
It does. It does. If you're 18 years old in this industry or 19 or whatever, you know, if you're under 21. It gets the ball rolling. There are a lot of companies that shoot young performer scenes. And so you can get 20 or 30 scenes. And then it's hard after that. And this is where I think a lot of our industry... A lot of talent comes in, does 30 scenes, and then sort of filters out
I don't doubt that I would have done better if I was just a little bit different with myself. Like, my tattoos, I can't take them off me. So I think I would have gotten way more popular way quicker if I didn't have tattoos. But that's okay. I do have tattoos, and this is me, and I'm going to roll with it. This is who I am.
You're going to be fine and great, actually, because you have that entrepreneurial spirit, obviously.
Thank you.
I can see that you did this website, you got things going on your own.
Yeah.
Like, that's the new world today.
But he said, I'm not going to sign you with the name Gypsy Bae.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that is a stripper name. You're a dancer, right? And I was like, yep, but I really like that name. And he's like, I don't. Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of like a whore.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, none of my audience or none of the buyers who buy porn are going to like that name because they're going to resonate it with it being a stripper name. And these old men, they like classic sounding names. So if you don't give me a classic sounding name within the next 24 hours, A, I'm not signing you, or B, I'm picking a name for you.
Okay.
So that's how
that
went
down. Tough approach right there.
Within 10 hours, I got back to him and I thought of Pamela Morrison.
Pamela Morrison, because?
Because I love Jim Morrison so much.
Jim Morrison's girlfriend or paramour, whatever his wife
was named. When he passed away was Pamela Corson.
That's right.
So they never got married, so I didn't feel too bad about picking her name. And what's really cool is if you don't type in XXX next to my name, kind of like an undercover porn star, if you just type in Pamela Morrison on Google, you won't find any pictures of me. You have to type in XXX.
Yeah. That is kind of cool.
Which I think is, like, really secretive and fun.
I'm still trying to think to myself whether Gypsy Bae would have worked. It probably would have worked.
I think it would have been fine.
It's name in a lot of cases what you make of it, as long as it's not something totally stupid.
But he is a very controlling person, so he would never settle with me.
Okay, so you get hooked up with this agent, and did you go live in the model house then?
No,
you were already
here
in Vegas.
Yeah, I lived 10 minutes down the road from him. He tried to get me to move in there, but I was actually, during that time, I was moving into my first apartment with my best friend, whom I brought to the interview with me, and she decided not to sign. She is in the industry now, though, still not signed with an agency.
Can you say her name?
Her name is Violet Baker.
Violet Baker, okay, I'm not familiar with Violet Baker.
Her former name was Iridessa Jane. She's not, like, super big. She's more of a cam girl, but she does have boy-girl content out there, which is pretty cool.
Gotcha.
I really like her.
All right, so now we need to ask you about the sets that you went on to, but first I need to tell you about our sponsor, Sex Panther, sexpanther.com. Sex Panther, for all of you listeners out there, is the way that you can build a intimate relationship with all of the adult entertainers that come on to my show, and all the adult entertainers that you lust after and love every day. You're not on Sex Panther yet, I don't think, are you?
No, I think I signed up a long time ago and didn't really follow through with it. I just sell my phone number, my real phone number to people.
That's another way to do
it. One payment.
But for those of you out there who want to get to know Christy Canyon or Ginger Lynn or Courtney Taylor or Christina Rose, or Kimberly Chi, all the great talent that you hear on our show, you go to sexpanther.com, you get their phone number for free, and then you will be able to send them texts or pictures or videos or talk to them on the phone. They will be able to send you all of those things. Send that dick pic. See, like right now, if you send a dick pic to somebody over Twitter unsolicited, they can report you and have your account taken away from you. That's Twitter's new rules. And also, most entertainers hate when you send them a dick pic.
Yeah, we do.
But not when you pay to send it to
them.
Paying them supports your local or your favorite talent. So this way you can send a dick pic and they can send something back and tell you how much they like it. They can send you intimate pictures from their lives of them in the shower or whatever. You can talk to them on the phone. You can do so many cool things with Sex Panther. In fact, a guy emailed me this morning and he said, I want to start doing that. I want to talk to the performers on the phone while I'm watching your scenes, Glenn, on meanbitches.com.
That's Skype.
I said, that's very cool. Very cool idea. It's not Skype. That's Sex Panther, sexpanther.com.
Oh, so you're doing a commercial.
We're doing a promo, damn it. So that's SextPanther.com. Get on there today. And by the way, it doesn't even have to be sexual. Ginger Lynn tells me that a lot of people just text her to ask her about what it was like dating Charlie Sheen or all those movies that she did.
That's interesting.
And what was it like doing porn back in the 80s? All the cool stuff. So a lot of them you can just talk to, and it's really cool. And also, if you are a performer, let's just say your name is Pamela Morrison, and you're not on SexPanther.com, you are leaving out some opportunities to connect with your fan base. And so I suggest, if you're one of the many hundreds of performers that actually listen to my show, listen to this podcast, go check out Sex Panther and use this, if for no other reason, just use it to figure out which of your fans are freeloaders and which of them are willing to pay and support you and you know, at least put some money out there to support you and help you in this industry. So there you go, everybody. Go check it out. That's SextPanther.com. Don't forget the T in there. It's not Sex Panther. SextPanther.com. So now we need to ask you about your first few sets over there. You were 19 years old, starting to get on these porn sets. You'd been doing some low-end stuff, and then all of a sudden you're kind of jumping up into the bigger leagues here. What was it like?
It was really cool. The first company I shot for was Naughty America, so that's like a really big name to shoot for your first porn. And I really liked it. I liked the pictures because they were more professional looking.
Yeah.
I liked how my butt looked.
Yeah.
Good angles. You know, there's a lot better angles with the professional stuff than there is with the amateur. So I was really into it. I felt beautiful. When I started porn, I felt like more beautiful than I've ever felt in my whole life. Like, if you ask me when I felt my best, it was when I was 19.
Who was the makeup artist? Do you remember?
For Naughty?
Yeah. Was it Sloan, maybe, on that back then?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. Yeah.
Well, let me just say, for all of you guys who listen to the show who are interested in becoming producers, the makeup artist is key.
Yes.
It absolutely, not only does it make a better product in that everybody looks better, but your performers feel beautiful and confident, and it helps them do a better scene.
Better result in the scene.
So who directed? Do you remember that? No.
No, I was just so, everything was happening so quickly, and I was fortunate that the scene was in Vegas, actually. I remember the photographer had, like, an accent.
Mario.
Maybe it was.
Or Marco, I think, too. I've never met Marco Rivera, but...
Yeah. I don't know. If I saw him, I'd know that was him.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun. They let me hold the, what is the thing that they...
The clapper.
The clapper thing.
Yes. Yeah.
What is that called?
To mark sound. So what you do is, if you want to sync up sound from two different cameras, if you have two different cameras, so I assume they had two cameras on the shoot. Well, maybe they just had it. If you have separate sound.
I think it was actually just a handheld one, and they were really easy to work with because they would tell me exactly what would go on and then, like, cut, start. Like, there were so many cuts and starts, and they just told me to, like, improv if I couldn't about things, and they're really cool. And I really like the makeup artist for meanbitches.com. So
yes.
If she's on set, then it's going to be a great day.
We use Lori, the makeup artist. Lori is really one of the very best in the business, and she's done a lot of work for Naughty. Who knows? Maybe it was Lori
it
that
might
day.
Might have been. I know she did my makeup for Bang.com. I'm not sure if it was for Naughty because I was just beginning, so, but I know she did it for that.
Did you find, so this was your first time doing sex on camera in a big production, did you find the sex to be rough, or, you know, was it, did they try to make you comfortable, knowing that it was your first?
It was in a pool, and they gave me coconut oil, which I requested, and I request for all my scenes pretty much. I really like coconut oil.
Yeah, coconut oil is good lube.
Yes, they were great, and they're really nice. I really enjoyed it. I'm lucky that it was in a pool for my first scene. Besides, like, the classic bed, I don't know, I really like being in outdoors scenes. It's way more fun and interesting, and they had me, like, sit on a pool float, and it was really cool.
Nice.
I felt super beautiful.
I would love to do pool scenes. It's just hard to get a location where you can do it and not end up with the neighbors.
Yeah, you know,
it's really legal, but it's something you don't want your neighbors to.
I'd love to shoot for them again one day. I haven't shot for them again. I don't know if it's like a one and done thing for them.
Surprising, but who knows? Casting is so subjective.
It was my
sometimes
favorite
it's
scene,
just a matter
honestly.
Of. I mean, and just. You know, you might get booked for 6 more scenes with them next month.
Who knows?
And then go 2 more years without doing scenes, and then you'll think, what did I do wrong?
No, I'm not thinking that. No.
But so many porn stars do. I'm going through this right now on Twitter, because I don't know what happened, but over the last 3 days I've gotten, like, 50 girls following me and sending me, you know, can I work? I'm available, and it's...
It's odd. Because I tweeted the thing, and they're like, this girl... Jeez, this girl gets booked? Jesus, I'll get booked.
No, it's not. It happened right after we shot a BBW scene the other day.
That's cool.
You know, she's so wonderful. It's fantastic. Sophia Rose is beautiful. And it's funny, people keep saying, so you cast a BBW? And I said, no, that's not what I'm doing here. I'm casting beautiful, glamorous women.
All types
of
women.
And it just so happens that the beautiful, glamorous woman that we found is a BBW. But that doesn't mean...
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that I'm trying to do something special or whatever. It's, as you say, I'm just looking for all types of women, the kind that... Whoever's the best.
You're smart. Your site needs diversity.
My site does need diversity. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I get these people that are like, oh, great, you shot her, now you need to shoot... all of, you know, this type from now on, and it's not just with her, it was with you, you know, yours hasn't gone up yet, but
right.
Then I'll get people saying, great, shoot 19-year-olds every single week, and it's like, guys, we have thousands of members, each one has their own different needs.
Yeah, cater to all of them.
Yeah, but anyway, you've done quite a few scenes in your career over the last few years. I think it's really cool the VR scenes that you did for
love that.
Stony over there. Was it Stony that directed?
Oh, I did one VR for Stony, and then I did it for VR Hush, and what's the other one? Oh my gosh, there's one more too. I feel so bad.
Really?
It was with a fake dick.
Oh, okay.
Chiseled Chad. BabeVR.com.
Oh, BabeVR. Okay,
yeah,
good.
I believe that's what it is. So I've done... like 3 or 4 now VR scenes, because VR Hush, I think I've done 2 or 3 for them.
You did some kind of naughty student thing for them,
yes,
right?
Yes, and okay. That was actually produced by my agent, Shy Love. She was actually in it and everything. She played the teacher, like, giving us detention.
I watched the scene. I didn't even notice that Shy was in it.
Yeah.
It was all on you.
Wow,
yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I do like that one a lot. That was in January of 2018.
Yeah, so that's cool. And, you know, from the viewer's perspective, it's really, you know, you lay back in the bed and then the girl's grinding on top of you.
I, like, practically cried when I saw myself in VR. I was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, fucking myself, and it looks so cool. I loved it. Literally, I teared up the first time I saw that. I really did. I'm going to be honest with you.
If I recommend to our listeners that you take an edible, since those are all legal in almost every state now, get some marijuana in your head. So that you're nice and high, strap on your Oculus Go VR headset, and then watch Pamela.
It's an experience.
Ride you. It's an experience that everyone should have. But what was it? It's different doing a VR scene.
It is. It really is. They're really up in your grill, which I prefer. I have this perspective of me, or like mindset of me, that I really like up close shots in my grill, in my face, because it makes me look like bigger, and I'm a really tiny girl. I don't know if everybody knows this or not, but I'm like 100 pounds practically, 5'1". I'm really small, so when the camera's far away, I kind of look really like tiny, and I don't like that. I like my butt to look all bubbly, and I like me to look like I have some meat on me, which I do. I got some meat on me.
You got some curves.
Thank you.
Have some curves. It's very nice. Yeah.
When it's far away, I look like a little girl, so I like the close up.
Yeah.
The close up angles. The fisheye type look. I'm really into that. I was into that even before porn, because I spent a lot of hours in my life at the skate park, and they like filming with a fisheye, getting close up. That view is really cool.
That's the future of porn, is that basically at some point, directors like me are kind of going to go away to some degree, in that you'll have your own, you just have your own VR camera at home, and you'll do tonight's date with Pamela and your boyfriend or whatever talent
so
that
cool.
you hire, or, you know, just I'll come over.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, I'll be your stunt dick. But basically, you don't see the guy's face, and so she'll just be able to film all kinds of different cool experiences with her using VR cameras. And it's a really cool thing.
I know it makes a lot of people I grew up with more comfortable, my VR porn, because you can't see the guy's face and stuff, and that's like a determining factor for like if people I know are going to watch it or not, because they'll get like really offended if this guy's like extremely old, extremely huge, and
yes.
from a different country. They get all crazy about it. I'm like, okay, well, the VR one is more preferred because you never see all that stuff.
People
so I
funny.
Get less heat from former, you know, ex-boyfriends and stuff.
Well, so POV porn, I mean, it is kind of the way to go. But so here's the other thing about VR porn is that you have to be able to connect with the camera.
Yeah.
Not like a lot of girls can connect with the male talent in a scene, and that's good. That's a very important thing to have. Mm-hmm. But you actually have the ability to look at an inanimate object, a camera, put your hand up to it and stroke the camera.
They have
look
me make
the
out
camera.
With the camera without actually touching it. They're like, get as close as you can. Be careful about breathing out your nose because it'll fog it up, and just make out with it. Make as much noises as you can. Really. And they, a couple of companies have had me do this, and it's so crazy. I'm like, it's so funny. I'm like, I sound like a cow.
Yeah. Well, and then but with some girls, because I watch a lot of this VR porn, with some girls when they try to do that, it's just like, uh-oh, fast forward. This is not...
Terrible.
This is awful.
Yeah.
Because some girls just can't connect with an inanimate object. It's
right.
not easy, but you do.
Thank
I mean, that
you.
Was a good, good thing for you. So, turns out you can make out with
I've always liked the camera.
Yeah. The camera is your friend. Absolutely. Okay, well, now I need to ask you about... the things you're doing today that are so exciting, like your lingerie fights here. But first, I need to tell you about our newest sponsor, Savage Sin Clothing.
Ooh.
Savage Sin Clothing can be found at savagesinclothing.com. And here's why I love it. Because I am 50 years old, and when I was 22 years old, like Pamela over here, I had a sense of fashion. But as the years went by, I lost it. And that's just what happens to everybody. I'm sure of this because when I look at people who are my age, I see that we've all failed at fashion. But the solution to that problem is Savage Sin Clothing. Savage Sin Clothing, again at savagesinclothing.com, is cool contemporary clothing. It makes people like me and you and really people of all ages look like you have some style and some sense of fashion. It's tank tops, it's shirts, it's all kinds of great stuff, and it's high quality material. And here to tell us about it, I am thrilled and honored to have with us today DW Sin, the owner of SavageSinClothing.com. Hi, DW.
Hey, how's it going?
Excellent. Well, tell us about the beginnings. How did you come up with this?
Well, it all kind of started with, like, I was watching, like, the UFC, and this was back when they had, like, advertising. They, you know, like, Tap Out, Affliction, you know, different companies like that would sponsor the different fighters. That was before they went, like, corporate and kind of got rid of everything. But that's kind of where I came up with the idea. It was originally going to be, like, a MMA line, but I realized... at the time, there was a lot of that out there. There was a lot of competition for that. So I decided I need something extra to catch people's attention. So that's why I decided, you know, I need something, you know, a little twist there. So I came up with the idea to incorporate the adult industry into it.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I'm not sure... you know, nowadays how prevalent it is, but back then I noticed like a lot of the MMA fighters, they were like going out with like the porn stars and stuff, you know, like some of the very top like entertainers, and you would always see these couples together, and I was like, well, that seems like a good combination there.
Yeah, we all remember Tito and Jenna.
Yep. And so that's why I kind of decided I need to kind of incorporate those two together. And so then I had to kind of come up with some different designs, you know, that would kind of incorporate the MMA plus the adult industry kind of mixing together. And so that's where I kind of came up with an idea there, and believe it or not, I was kind of surprised that that when I first launched the clothing line, because you know, when I first launched it, it was more based towards MMA.
Yeah.
But I was getting more attention from the adult industry though.
Yeah.
So I mean I had like, you know, like some like the very top stars. I had, you know, like the top you know, production companies. They were like following my account and everything and sending me messages, and I wasn't getting too much attention from the MMA though.
Yeah.
I was like, well, okay, I think that maybe I should probably focus more on the adult industry there.
Makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
The adult industry, which is becoming more prevalent in everyone's life.
Yeah.
It's not just California anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
everybody.
I mean,
now,
yeah, so. It's amazing. It's amazing just how many different avenues there are right now.
Right.
And that you can go into.
That's interesting to hear that you started reaching out to the MMA and then it went to the adult crowd, because right now I'm like, I started with the adult crowd, and now I'm doing lingerie fighting championships.
Oh.
Kind of like MMA-like, and yeah, let us
awesome.
Wear whatever we want, so maybe I could wear your gear during my fight. I've done 2 fights so far.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe. Wow, okay,
yeah,
this is cool.
I've seen you, actually.
We are going to ask you more about that in just a moment here, but first, we got to give you an opportunity to win a prize.
Ooh.
So this is very exciting. Okay. Now, I have on my phone the bio of a mystery person here, and if you can guess this mystery person, who was born on July 3rd, 1971.
I think he died July 3rd.
Up. Don't make your guess until you're sure. Because if you get it wrong, not only do you not get the shirt, but there's punishment. You get it's a beating that we're going to do. So we don't want to have to to hurt you.
Right.
But so this, you got to be careful with this. Get it right. This person wrote or co-wrote many songs, including Break On Through to the Other Side, People Are Strange,
Wonder.
Hello, I Love
yes.
You, Roadhouse Blues, L.A. Woman. Now, you still look confused, so I'll give you his nicknames or her nicknames, The Lizard King or Mr.
Mojo Rising.
Mojo Rising, that is correct. Let's see, I'll give you one more clue just to make sure that we've been fair, because the torture equipment that we have in the dungeon, I don't want to have to break it out here and use it on you today,
okay.
Although maybe it would be fun for all of us here. But this person died at the age of 27. Who is it?
I'm going to take a wild guess here and say that it's Jim Morrison from The Doors.
That is correct! Yay! Okay, well, isn't that exciting?
I worried there for a second. I didn't know my shit.
I'm going to edit in a buzzer on that saying, wrong. Okay, so congratulations. You've won your choice. So DW is going to vacate that chair right there, give you a chance to go over here to the website, browse through it.
Oh, I like the color scheme.
I'm going to bring the microphone over here so that people can hear you as you go through. She's clicking on women.
Ooh. I really like the panties.
She's looking through the panties now, which...
Oh my god, there's 10 pages,
got
though.
Lick panties, censored panties. Yeah, a lot of choices here.
Wow, so many options. I was not expecting all these options.
I see a tank top with a skull on it that looks really cool. I see a tank top that says Drink Fight 69 Fuck. Very cool. I see a racer back American skull. Some skull stuff. Censored bikini, so that's actually a bikini that has a little censored sign on it, because
like
God knows we go through stuff like that a lot these days.
I think I like the censored bikini the most.
You like the censored one?
Yes, I really do like that one.
Right. There you have it.
I'm happy I won.
There you have it, everybody. Our winner, Pamela Morrison, has just selected a Savage Sin censored bikini, which he's going to get to her. Now, here's the thing. If you, at home, want to get your own Savage Sin clothing, which I highly recommend that you do, you listen to the show, it's also a good way of supporting the show, is to support our sponsors. Go to SavageSinClothing.com, pick out what you want, and then take advantage of our humongous discount that we get people. Humongous. I'm not kidding. 40% off Would you say that's a humongous discount?
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it really is. So use the promo code KINGSIN, KINGSIN. Get yourself 40% off of your order. And those are cheap shirts that are going to shrink up in the washing machine?
No.
No.
No. No, everyone agrees. No, they are not. They are made out of 100% cotton right here in the United States, or shipped from the United States, at least, of the highest quality materials.
Yeah, all the shirts are printed here in the United States. I work with a network of multiple printers, and they're all located here in the United States.
Yeah, it looks really thick.
Yeah.
This is actually the special microfiber shirt. So
microfiber, very good. Picks up that sweat. If you live here in Las Vegas, you need microfiber. There you go. That's DW Sin from Savage Sin Clothing. Go follow him and Savage Sin on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
The company Twitter is at Savage Sin.
At Savage Sin. So go follow them and go to Savage Sin Clothing. Check them out. Get yourself some clothing today. And don't forget to use our promo code KINGSIN. All right. So now, Pamela, you sprung something on me today that I'm really thrilled to hear. What are you doing? What is this lingerie fighting all about?
So, last time I saw you, which was just like a week and a half ago or something like that, I wasn't even really invested in this yet. A girl got forfeited, so I took her place. And it's been going on for 5 years now. I participated in the LFC Lingerie Fighting Championships 28 and 29. The 28th was on the 4th of July, and it was on the roof club of Seamless Strip Club.
Okay.
And it was $75 a ticket, so there wasn't very many heads there.
Yeah, wow.
Strip club, what are you going to do?
Right.
And I lost my first fight, and then I fought again on July 5th, and it was located in Neonopolis downtown. Do you know where the Jillian's Center used to be? When you walk in, there's the Denny's, like Jillian's... Jillian's like, it's like a arcade hall.
I never go anywhere.
No, okay.
I never leave. If
downtown.
You want to come see me, you have to come either here to the studio or to my house. That's the only places you'll find me. And sometimes pro wrestling events. But other than that, that's all I do.
You're going to come to the next one then. It's August 15th.
Okay.
And it's located downtown in Neonopolis. And who knows, maybe I'll win this time because I've lost my first two fights. But it's okay. I win against, seriously, like reigning champions. Like the girls that I fought have been in this for years. It's kind of like obvious I was gonna lose.
Okay, fought. So help me understand. Are you hitting these girls with pillows, or are you hitting them with your fists?
We are in a ring, and we are wearing lingerie or bodysuits, or we get to pick whatever we want. Costumes that aren't gonna just fall right off and stuff. So we are actually like ground and pound, like wrestling. Like whoever can bring her to the ground first. I'm very light, so I'm getting flung around a lot. This girl actually like threw me over her back, like slammed me onto the ground. I've been trained to land properly. I did my training like 2 days before I got into this. You can pull it up on YouTube and everything. There's fans for it. It has a Twitter. It's a real like going thing, and they're gonna start a Netflix series for it coming here soon.
All right, explain the training here. You learn how to fall.
So we met up at this. Okay, so the trainer, his name is Leon. And he actually, like, wrestles, does, like, MMA. He's, like, into this stuff. And there's, There's, like, places where people meet up, like, rings and stuff. So we practiced at his, like...
Dojo.
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
And we practiced there, and he, like, just basically taught me how to land. I just gotta, like, be, like, really stiff and throw myself down, and they want to hear a loud noise when I do it.
Okay,
so
it's called slapping out. So you're falling and you're slapping the mat. So you're on a mat, I guess?
Yeah.
Or it's a ring mat.
Have you been to like UFC fights or
absolutely.
At the Thomas and Mack, they do that tough enough thing. It's just basically like that, a ring, just like that.
I got you. On springs or no? Probably not, actually.
I think it is.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Well, that helps. Good.
Yes, because I'm
so light.
It helps
a lot.
It's so fun. I'm really into it. I didn't expect to get into it. I was actually, this last week and a half has been very out of my shell, or a little bit different for me. First starting with the scene I did for you, I was playing like a dominant character. Then a few days later, I went to the LFC and fought and stuff. I was like, this is crazy. These are things I'm never doing. Or like, I've thought about doing, but I've always told myself I'm not ready for it, or I don't even know if I can do that because I'm kind of submissive, and B, I'm not much of a fighter. But I did do Taekwondo for 6 years of my life.
Aha, so good. Help. Okay, that's what I was starting to wonder here is
so, yeah,
you have to have some basic training for this.
Me, I can do, like, jump kicks. I got really good kicks, they said. So
good.
Both times I started my fight, I started with a running high kick. Like,
good.
Lifted my knee high and just pushed her into the corner, and that upset both of my fighters for them to take me down so hard that I was pretty much down the whole time.
Did you see the UFC fight last week where the guy did one running knee strike and that was the whole match?
No!
You probably saw it, yeah.
Maybe that's why they told me that's how I should start.
I actually watched it on Twitter because that's how short it was.
Yes. It was one. The one guy was on one side of the ring. He had a big smile on his face because he had studied his opponent. Apparently, he knew this was going to work.
Wow.
He was just standing there smiling, and the other guy was stalking back and forth, trying to look scary, whatever. They said, ding. He runs across the ring with a perfectly aimed, just jumps in the air. His knee slams into the guy's head. And that's it, basically, after
wow.
that.
I did shortest, not see that.
Shortest fight in UFC history.
I
wow.
need to watch yeah. these to get a little, you know,
you
know
absolutely
what I'm doing.
Do. But, I mean, so what are you allowed? Are you allowed to hit her in the face or no?
No
hitting
face
in the face. Okay.
It's kind of like a series, and it's kind of funny. So they kind of have a few things that are choreographed, like, they'll tell a girl, oh, yeah, you guys have fought so many times now. Pull her hair in this one, and we'll disqualify her. Like,
okay.
You know, just something
yeah.
silly. It's somewhat, to a degree, choreographed.
Okay.
So I knew I was going to lose. The two
fights. I got you,
it's
but...
It's three-minute rounds. So I was supposed to be up there for 9 minutes, and the first round I tapped out within 30 seconds. The first day I tapped out within 30 seconds, and the second day I tapped out within a minute.
Okay, put your hand out. Right there. Okay, wrist holds like this.
Mm-hmm.
They like theatrical in mm-hmm. wrestling wrist holds when you're holding them off the body like this so people can see them.
Yeah.
So anybody that's listening, obviously you guys can't see it, but basically she put out her hand and I just grabbed her wrist and
yeah.
turned it over. That's fine, but they don't like it in things like this if you're on the ground and you're manipulating wrists and elbows because people can't see it. But do they? Are you? Will they let you do that? Because you could become a lot more effective just by taking a few... jiu-jitsu lessons and learning how to manipulate elbows, wrists, fingers.
Pretty sure they let us do that. We have gloves on, though, that are, like, fully, like this.
Oh, full gloves.
Yeah, we have full, they say LFC on them and everything.
Okay, so then you need to learn how to do, basically, forearm pressure on things.
Okay.
Right. So, well, part of it is, you know, you want to manipulate and push down on the forearm at the same time, but yeah, you're getting it. So we're just doing stuff here that you listeners can't see.
But just imagine it. We're going hard.
Imagine we're going hard, absolutely. No, but what I was showing her is that, you know, you want to press down on somebody's
yeah.
elbow. I took 10 years of mixed martial arts.
Okay, cool.
And
could learn a thing or two from you.
I'm extremely skilled at getting beaten up, that I know. I know how to fall down extremely well. If there was one thing that my sensei used to say to me is that he would say, amazing how well you fall.
They make little flyers for the LFC both nights. I have a few in my car. I'll bring them in for you so you can see all the opponents. They have, like, you know, little cards that says this person versus this person and everything, and the main event is in the middle. It looks really cool.
I'd like to check it out. I really may come out for this thing. I've been hanging around pro wrestling a little bit lately and really enjoying that. But I would imagine that with your Taekwondo skills, the thing to do would be when your opponent starts rushing in, like the next time your opponent will probably rush in on you, a spinning back kick will probably put a quick end to that.
I know. Well, who knows when I'm allowed to win. You know, I think I have to go against pretty much all the girls. And maybe once I face a new girl newer than me, then I could claim the title. But
okay. So we're going to run out of time here. We could talk all day about this. I love this topic. I saw on your Twitter... You're a little bit frustrated with content trades.
Yes.
What's happening with that?
Like I was expressing earlier, I don't like looking really, like, little.
Yeah.
So, I'm really picky about camera angles. I don't want to waste anyone's time. I don't want to be like, yeah, let's do something, and then us do something, and maybe, like, I completely hate that. Don't post that. And I don't want to have, like, residual weird energy towards somebody making money off of something on the internet that I never made money off of. I don't care if I get it paid for a shoot. I have no right to tell anybody anything once I get paid for a shoot. That's facts, and I hope every girl knows that. But when it comes to getting together with someone and doing content trade, I struggle with that, unless it's my best friend, Violet Baker, because she's patient enough to let me edit everything and then
yeah.
post the same thing. But I struggle online. There's a lot of really, really cool people who reach out to me, a lot of good female performers, and I'm just, like, afraid that I'm not going to like it and waste both of our time, and I'm not willing to, like, waste people's time. So I'm getting emotional talking about it because I know I really am passing up so many good opportunities to make money, but it's my self-consciousness that I have. And on my birthday at ABN, I actually did a three-way scene with as Content Trade with me, Jenna Fox, and what's her name? She's an all-female performer, blonde bangs. Fuck. Veronica. Kira?
Oh, okay.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Fuck, I feel stupid that I forget her name.
I never shoot female-only performers or girl-only performers, so I don't know much about her, but I know who you're talking about. Veronica Kirill, I think.
Yes.
It's K-I-E-R-E-L.
She's so beautiful. I did a content trade with them, and they're both posting it. I like them so much that it's okay, and it was a very low-quality thing, so the lighting was all bad. I just don't feel comfortable posting it because the lighting is bad, in my opinion. It was in the hotel room. I was kind of messed up. It was my birthday. I got a little drunk that day at ABN, and I was like, sure, I'll come up to your room and have a fucking three-way with you guys. Like,
why not?
And it was my birthday. So when it's, like, in the moment, I don't mind, but it's really hard for me to schedule a time to do, like, a content trade with people. I have a lot of guys who hit me up, and I'm like, first of all, I don't really do content trade with guys. I don't really ever, I've never post boy-girl content out there of myself. I'm waiting till I'm, like, older.
Yeah.
Not like so innocent looking. And I told them, I was like, yeah, I'm only doing paid content right now, I'm sorry.
I mean, a lot of content trades end up in disaster anyway. If people aren't getting paid, they don't tend to take it as seriously. And they should. I mean, it's, you know, business is business. You know, 3 p.m. Friday at this location really should mean 3 p.m. Friday at this location, but people are I see people on Twitter talking about, you know,
I just want to be more confident, and then I'll be able to do this content trades thing.
I
think I gotta go to the gym more, maybe get some fillers. I don't know, it's mainly my face I have problems. I know, you'll never understand, you'll never get it.
No, I do understand from two different perspectives. Number one, I think every girl, it's funny because a very, very high-end performer yesterday told me she's not performing this month because she feels like she's gotten fat. And I'm like, what? No, this is something you're looking in the mirror. And this is the way I think a lot of females are, is that you look in the mirror and every teeny tiny blemish looks humongous to you. And then also, you know, I perform in videos and I will not do content trades that unless I have control over how the end product looks.
Right.
I've done some content trades where somebody will say, Glenn, can I come up to the studio and give you a blowjob? And I'm like, well, yeah. Who's going to say no to that?
For real.
But I'll have my guy Jimmy film it, and I'll edit it, and I'll give it to her, you know, because I don't want to. I'm kind of self-conscious about it. You know, it's like, okay, I'm not erect yet. Don't show my penis when I'm not erect yet. I only want you to show, you know, so it's like, you want to have control over your brand.
I do. I don't know. I'm just... It's kind of silly. I honestly, at one point, almost lost...
It's not silly.
...lost a friendship over with... my friend Lexi, a couple years ago, it was like a year and a half ago or so, we did something and she posted it and she never sent me it, so I never seen it. And I saw that she was profiting off of it on ManyVids, and I was like, well, first of all, A, you need to send me it. B, we need to discuss a price together. It needs to be the same price, because that's not fair. If you're selling it for $11.99, I sell it for $24.99. Everyone's going to buy it from you.
Smart.
That's right.
And don't put it on one of those click programs for free.
Oh, my goodness.
Performers all the time piss to each other because one of them puts it up on their clip store and they're selling it, and the other one puts it on Pornhub or Xvideos. They both have free programs where they'll put it up for free, and then everybody gets paid by the number of people that view it, and it's like,
so
you just crushed the value of the thing for me.
That actually has happened to me with the ManyVids thing, because ManyVids does that thing now, and someone actually bought one of my videos, stole it, and like uploaded it, and now is like making money off of like views per thing, and I have it on my ManyVids still. So I'm like, and I contacted ManyVids and it's still not down. I'm like,
wow,
so hard to get these things down sometimes.
Yeah.
But it will be down in the future.
See, like some of them now have it where like Xvideos, I believe, has it where somebody else can put it up there, and then you realize it's your content, yeah. you have it transferred over to you, and you get a check from Xvideos for all the views on it.
Oh, shit. That's really cool.
That is cool.
Well, I'll have to look out for myself on the end.
But you're... Well, it has to be your content, but yeah.
Yeah.
But you are controlling your brand, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, and just as an example, I had somebody recently... one of my website members sends me a thing saying, hey, would you shoot this girl? She's really hot. And then the first thing I clicked on, she did not look hot. And she looked awful.
In their perspective, I guess she was hot.
Yeah, but... And maybe he could find something somewhere where she was hot. And that's probably...
Okay.
But the point is, me, as the director's producer... I got my... This is what I picture her in my head looking like, is how she looked that day. And that's it. I'm not shooting her.
Mm.
And this happens from time to time. And it's so important for performers to control their brand to make sure that you're putting out there the image of yourself that you want people to see.
I know, and I'm so picky. It sucks. I'm so picky.
There is nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. All right. So people can find you... People can check out your content. You're making your own content. What do you got? You got OnlyFans?
I do. OnlyFans.com/PamelaMorrison. I also have a ManyVids where that's Pamela Morrison XXX. And my Twitter is @PamMorrisonXXX.
How much is your OnlyFans?
It's $9.99.
So it's only $9.99?
Yes.
And then do you respond to your private messages on there?
I do.
Okay.
We can set up a Skype show on there. More likely, if you message me on Twitter, I will immediately direct you to my OnlyFans. That's pretty much my thing I do, so don't get offended. I do it to everyone.
Well, it shows, again, if you want to just suck up her time, you need to at least pay $10 to show her that you have some money.
And it's worth it. There's over 600 photos of me on there, 12 videos. It's totally worth it.
How often are you updating it?
Like... Every week, if I can.
Every week. So get in there, guys. Go check out our OnlyFans. You can also buy her phone number. This is kind of interesting. So
my personal cell phone number. I've been offering it for a while now. And I do not have that many people, so I will reply to you. I only have like 6 people that have ever bought my phone number. And anytime you send me a nude, I reply with a nude. That's my deal.
How much is this?
It's $100 for lifetime access.
$100 for lifetime access to Pamela Morrison.
Or $50 a month if you want to test it out for a month. Test out the waters of it.
Yeah, or $50 a month. Shoot. You're getting a good deal at $100 lifetime, guys.
I swear. I texted someone a nude this morning, and they're like, wow, you really made my day. So I like making people's day.
There you go. All right, so you said it's OnlyFans, it's ManyVids, and you got content, a lot of content on video, on ManyVids of you talking dirty and stuff.
I don't have enough, but I do have a really good one of me sucking a fake cock that is my favorite because my best friend is wearing it. She filmed it, my best friend Violet Baker, and I actually lift up the cock and eat her out. So it's very, very diverse, and she is soaking wet. Like,
it's
so good. Yeah, and I do a little dance and everything. It's my favorite video on there. And it's 23 minutes long, $23. You're going to want it.
All right, everybody, go check out her ManyVids. Go check out her OnlyFans. Go buy her phone number. Go find her on Twitter.
Yes, please.
And her Instagram, too. And what are those, your Instagram and Twitter?
I do not have an Instagram for being Pamela.
Oh, okay. So what you got a Twitter?
Yes.
What's your Twitter?
@PamMorrisonXXX.
There you go. All right, everybody. So if you are listening to this show, if you're one of our 50-something thousand or 60,000 subscribers, I'm supposed to get new numbers this week. Then we appreciate you. But if you're just somebody that came on to check us out and listen to Pamela, we would appreciate if you could subscribe. I don't even care if you listen to the show. I just want you to subscribe because more subscribers makes our sponsors more happy, bigger, broader reach. So go subscribe to the show. Give us a 5-star review. Check it out. Check us out. You can find us on iTunes, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and many more. Anywhere that you get podcasts, we're there. So go check us out and give us that 5-star review. So there you go, everybody. Pamela Morrison. So this podcast is coming out on a Friday. On the following Monday, you'll see her brand new scene of her dominating, the first time you've ever seen that side of Pamela. And that's going to be on meanbitches.com, my website. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
Let's talk it up. Yay!